Blog Talk Radio.
I know you have, but we're here, and we're ready to go. Hi, Tasila. How are you today?
Doing pretty good. What about yourself?
I'm doing just great. I'm doing marvelous. Oh, by the way, everybody, you're listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila. And, well, you know, I'm going to have you to do what I have you do every week. We want you to pick up your phones or grab your computers, go to your inbox, text your family members and friends, even some of your enemies, and encourage them to dial in right now. Our number to dial in is 646-668-8537. Let me repeat that. That's 646-668-8537. Or just go to my Facebook page, T. Meyer McCain. Just go there and click on the link for this particular broadcast if you choose to listen from your computer. You also might see our post on Instagram or Twitter and all of that. So just dial in if you see it there. Also know that this is something that we are also on hsbn.tv. But our show is called The Message of Life on hsbn.tv. You can even go on Facebook Live. Keep your eyes open for that, and it'll take you right to hsbn.tv. Or you can go to YouTube. You can click on YouTube and just put my name, T. Meyer McCain, or T. Meyer and Tasila, or just put the title, The Message of Life, on YouTube, and we'll pop up and you'll see all of our programs, and it'll take you right to hsbn.tv, and you can click on any one of the programs that you want to listen to. Good messages, And we know that you will be blessed if you do that, okay? Also, you can find the Message of Life on our webpage, churchofjesuschristministry.com, www.churchofjesuschristministry.com. Just go there and navigate yourself. It's in the three little lines on the left. You touch those lines and you can navigate all throughout the page. You can go to media, and if you click on media, it'll take you right away to hsbn.tv, and you can click on any one of the programs, okay? And, oh, yeah, don't forget our book. It's still there. You don't want to forget that. Yeah, it's called The Message. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The book is called Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery. Who is God unveiling the mystery? And you know, when you order it, if you order it now, you'll get it in 2 days. So that's not bad. Yeah. It's on available on Amazon. You order it right now, and you can get it in 2 days. Just put in "Who is God unveiling the mystery." That's all you have to put in, and it'll pop right up, and you can order it. Okay. All right. I hope everybody's happy. I'm happy. And I assume, Pastor Tasila, that you're happy today as well.
I'm blessed. I'm happy. And I want to say hi to all our friends and family from all over the world. God bless you for tuning in and listening. And I pray that tonight you'll be blessed.
Yes.
I'm sure you will.
I know you will. In the meantime, don't go away. We'll be right back. Stay right there.
You in your car. You at the house. On your job. Be encouraged, boo. Come on. A long way. That's why we love you. Come on.
All right. Yes, I've been looking for you, and I praise the Lord. I found him. And you keep looking, too, till you see his face. Keep seeking the Lord till you see him. You're listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tusila, also known as TNT. And then we – wait a minute. Hold on. What's this? What's going on? Do you hear that? What is that? You can't fool our listeners. They know what this means. You can't fool them. Wow. It means that it's time for our special guest. And who's our special guest today, Pastor Tusila?
a friend of ours that you talk about all the time. How are you?
That's right. Mr. How are you?
How
are you? Yes,
what's
indeed.
What's up? How you doing, man?
Good, man.
That's TNT. That's dynamite. Isn't that dynamite? That's like
yeah,
TNT.
That's dynamite.
Yeah,
Jesus,
definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's good to hear your voice, man. And, you know, I'm going to tell the people, I'm just going to tell them a little bit about you, Howard, because I think you're going to share a lot of things with us, and that's what I'm really looking forward to. But just in case, you guys, Howard Hewitt, he's a famous solo recording artist and also the lead vocalist for the very popular group Shalimar. And then he's going to tell you all about all of that. And Howard is still going strong with his solo career as well as with Shalimar, still doing them both as the group continues to travel all over the world, singing all of their many hits. And Howard is also going separately and singing a lot of his hits as well. So this man is a busy person. And I'm so glad we managed to track him down for the show. Howard, it's good to have you here. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Mr. Howard Hewitt. Yay!
Hey.
You hear the crowd? You hear the crowd?
I love that sound.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I used to dream about that sound when I was younger and trying to push through this stuff, man. And it's good to be here. Good to, we, like you said, we go way back. Timo, I've always called you Timo, and back to the Solar Galaxy Stars Tours, and with Lakeside, Shalimar, Whispers, Dynasty was on one, and then we had Carrie Lucas on another.
Yeah,
it was good. It was fun times, man. And you guys are catching me right now. I'm like, I'm on what I call vacation anyway. My next gig is not till I think it's April 19th or something like that. So, I got some time off. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the time.
You're on
off,
holiday.
I'm on holiday. which is crazy. I mean, I don't get a lot of that. Thank God. I love working. I love to work. So, it's not a bad thing. That's for sure. It could be a whole different way. That's for sure. So.
Yeah.
How's your girls now? How's the girls doing?
Everybody's grown now. I got my oldest daughter, Lakiva, and then there's Rainy Days, and then Christopher, my son, and then my youngest daughter, Anissa. And, everybody's doing great. Lakiva's doing great. Rainy's, doing her thing. Everybody's being grown and things.
Yeah.
And, I have a...
No.
Three grandkids. My oldest granddaughter is 24, and then her sister's 12. She'll be 13 next month, March, April, May, yet more May, May 11th, yeah. And then, you know, and then my my son, he and his lady, they just had my first grandson, so that was cool. He's like 2 years old.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's great,
everybody's
man.
Doing great, you know.
That's great.
Akiva's doing her whole dance, teaching dance, and Rainey is, you know, doing her thing with her music, and Christopher's doing his thing with his music, and Anissa's up in Seattle. She's going to Antioch College, going getting her doctor's degree in psychology. She's up in Seattle for a couple years, you know. So
cool.
A couple more years. Yeah, so everybody's doing good. Thank God.
That's good, man. Yes, amen. That's really good. You know, and you got a few, three of them that's into music, keeping it in the family, that's cool, man.
Yeah, I'm real proud about that. I'm really excited about the stuff that they're doing, and you know, my oldest, she's keeping it, you know, in the musical situation with her dance situation. She goes from all kind of different dance to even Tahiti.
Mm-hmm.
She's been over to Bali and Tahiti and all that kind of stuff with her Tahitian troupe. So I was real proud about that. Real proud about the way
that's
they
interesting.
You know.
Yeah. That's so good, man. Back in the day, I mean, would you ever think that one day we would be grandparents? You know?
Man, it's crazy, you know, and
I know.
And it's really crazy, and what's funny, my middle grandchild, my granddaughters are from my oldest daughter, Lakiva, and she called me one day. A long time ago, she says, you know, Dad, I think this guy that I'm dating now, I think you know his dad. And I'm like, you know, well, who's his dad? What's his last name? She said, well, the guy she's dating, he says his last name is Bolding. And I said, wait a minute, is his dad Jerry Bolding? You know, and Jerry Bolding is one, I mean, you probably did interviews with Jerry Bolding back in the day, Timo, you know, because Jerry was like he was called the radio doctor, like when radio stations were in trouble, you know, with their ratings and stuff, they were called Jerry, you know, he went in and consulted. He consulted with Stevie Station, you know, JLA,
right.
WJLA, KJLA,
right.
And, you know, consulted all kind of radio stations across the country. So then, you know, they got his son and my daughter, they're dating, and then they get, you know, they move in together, the whole thing. And then, you know, she has my 12-year-old granddaughter, right? And so Jerry and I remember us being in the room after she was delivered and everything, and we looked at each other and we said exactly the same thing you just said. We said, man, would you have imagined 30 years ago or whatever, ever we would be co-grandparenting, you know, and it's the same thing when you think about, you know, all the stuff that, you know, all the things that where we started, you know, and now I'm a foundation man. That's what I call myself, foundation. I don't believe anything can stand without a strong foundation. You know, back in the day when I was I'm from Ohio, born and raised in Ohio. So when I was a kid, you know, like, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old and all that, you know, running around the neighborhood and all that kind of stuff. And they would build houses. If there was a lot, you know, an empty lot, they would build a house in that lot. And they would dig the hole. And, I mean, they would take forever. forever with the foundation of the house, you know, because back there they had basements and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Like, you know, they had to reinforce it. The cement was steel, had to reinforce the whole thing. And they had to build a strong foundation. Once they finished the foundation, then the house, boom, 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 boom. The house went up, you know, it took no time for the house to
right.
go up. And like, and then if the foundation is strong enough, you can, and what really, you know, like I love about this whole thing is that you could tear that house down and build a whole new house on top of that foundation. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? So
right.
that's like if you look at that as far as life is concerned, if you build and you put the right stuff in your foundation, you know, it's just like when it talks about, you know, you're not going to be building a strong foundation on sand. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're not going to build it. It's going to be, you got to build it on solid rock, you know, build that foundation
mm-hmm.
on solid rock. And if it's strong enough and if the foundation is strong enough, then you can tear your whole thing down and build a whole nother situation on top of it. So, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm a foundation cat, and that's what,
yeah.
you know, as far as kids are concerned and all that, family, everything, you know, it's about strong and especially about, you know, work and building that and putting, you know, God has to be your whole foundation, because that's the strongest
yeah.
foundation you can have. You know,
that's true. That's absolutely
yeah.
true. Now, were you brought up in the church, Howard?
Yep. We, you know, I started the first group I was with was the Hewitt Singers. My mom was a major gospel promoter in the Akron, Cleveland, Canton area in Ohio. And she also had a radio broadcast, you know, every Sunday morning. And, you know, she was number one in her slot in the radio broadcast and stuff. And eventually she was inducted into the Ohio Radio Hall of Fame and all that. And,
all
and
right.
so she was a major gospel promoter. So she would bring groups in. Like James Cleveland, Albertina Walker and the Caravans, when Shirley Caesar was still with them. Pilgrim Jubilees, Five Blind Boys of Alabama, you know.
Yeah.
Soul Stirs, we can go on and on and on, those quartet groups and all that. So
yeah.
Once, you know, she found out that I could hold a note and my sisters could hold a note, you know, she formed the group, the Hewitt Singers. And once we were in shape enough to perform, you know, we, of course, nepotism was alive and well in our family. So, you know, every show that she would bring in, we would open up the show for her. And then in the summertime, when we get out of school, we would go up and down the Chitlin Circuit, Gospel Chitlin Circuit, up and down the East Coast, Midwest, and all
yeah.
that. And,
right.
So it was that type of thing. I mean, the group wasn't the type of group that we would, you know, go to church every Sunday, sing in front of the congregation type of group. It was like
mm-hmm.
a real serious professional group that went out on the road. We would hit the road and work, perform. So like, you know, you know, so it was definitely an experience, especially for a young age like that, you know.
Yeah. How old were you then?
I was like, when started the Hewitt Singers, I was 10 years old. 10,
okay.
Yeah, so we went
so
from.
Been...
Huh?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, so, you know, I went from. From there, I did the gospel group from the time I was 10 till I was about 15, and then went into the R&B situation with the group
with my group that I put together back in Akron, back in Ohio. Ohio was like, man, you know, Ohio was something in the water, man. It was, they were groups,
oh yeah,
there were groups, the groups that were coming up all, you know, all the time, you know, just
that's right,
one after another, different, you know, and they would, and the thing was like there was no, we basically had no outlet, at least in Akron, there was nothing that we could look at and say, okay, you know, other than looking at TV and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
But as far as like something, you know, tangible that you could touch, you know, there were no record companies. There were no,
right,
you know, no production companies that could, you know. So you really had to be like, you know, have a passion for what you were doing. I mean, it couldn't have been, you know, you're so young, you know, like you know, you don't know what to do. You don't know what your passion is at that time, but
right,
it had to be something that made you hold on to what you wanted to do. Otherwise, there were so many other things like that could distract you. Like one thing was, you know, you get married at a young age, you know, have kids and the whole thing.
Yep.
And then at that point, then you're kind of tied to, you know, your situation. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're going to make that sacrifice and, you know, go off and do your thing. But, you know, I never had those kind of ties. That's why I was able to, at 20 years old, you know, I went from Akron and came out here to L.A., man. I touched down LAX, man. When I got out here, I touched down LAX. I had about $34 in my pocket, you know. And
did you know anybody in L.A.?
My cousin and my uncle, my mom's brother, my cousin Michael. Mm-hmm. My cousin Michael picked me up at the airport, you know, and you know, it was me and him for about eight, nine months or so. When I see Michael, when I see my cousin Michael, he lives on, I think, Huntington Beach out here in California.
Yeah.
And when I see him, even to this day, when I see him, we have to laugh for about 15 minutes or so before we can have a decent conversation, just remembering all the crazy stuff that we did, you know, during that 8-9 months. And
right,
just, you know, survival. And I mean, I had a ball, man. It was, I had to give me a little job. That was the only job I've ever really had in my life, you know, and only 9-to-5. And then, you know, put stuff together as far as started doing, making the moves, thank God, you know, making the moves as far as like the music thing is concerned.
So when did you, when did the Lord become real in your life?
Well, the Lord has always been real in my life, you know. But, you know, you go through that phase when you're young and you think you know everything, you know,
yeah,
you really don't know nothing, you know. And
right,
and I think when I got out here, because, see, I got out here, and I started putting together a couple months after I got out here. I started putting together a group, this place called Maverick's Flat down on in the Crenshaw District. And
mm-hmm,
it was John Daniels and his brother Alonzo Daniels. And Maverick's Flat was a club that was open on the weekends, but during the weekdays, they're upstairs. They had rehearsal rooms upstairs. They had
mm-hmm
offices upstairs. They had, you know, and they were also a booking agency called Maverick International, and all their
mm-hmm
bookings, though, all their bookings were overseas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like I put this group together, like I said, called Beverly Hills. The group was called Beverly Hills.
Right.
And
right,
we went overseas. Long story short, we went everything was cool. We started touring, and our first gig was over in Helsinki, Finland, right? And so we went over there, and then from there we went to Geneva, Switzerland, Benidorm, Spain, Santa Fe, France, all over the place. And, you know, I was making $250, $300 a week, you know, but again, I had no responsibilities, nothing. I had, you know, I was just me. And then, you know, I came back home for a month before I had to go back over there for about 3 or 4 months, right? I was over there for about 9 months, right? Came home for a month, and then I had to go back over again, you know, for about 3 or 4 months. But during that month that I came home, during that month, I met my my two older daughters' mom, and we started talking and the whole thing. And then we, you know, we stayed. When I went back over for those 3 months or so, we stayed in touch. And then when I came back home, we moved in together, right? And so, you know, after moving in, living together about 2 months, 2 or 3 months, she tells me, that she's pregnant. She says, we're pregnant. I said, we're pregnant? How did that happen? You know what I mean? And so, like, you know, and I said, well, we got to go get another opinion, right? So I took her to a different clinic, right, because I didn't have no money for a doctor. So I took her to a different clinic, right, and sure enough, she was pregnant. And then when I think it was right then, T. Meyer, where, you know, I just felt, because I wasn't making any money. I just got back from, you know, about 2 or 3 months from overseas and stuff. I didn't save any money from overseas from that whole thing because, you know, I'm like 22, about 22 years old. And I don't know, you know, I have no sense of what my responsibility is supposed to be. But I always had this thing about, you know, my kids. I always thought about what my kids would be like. I love kids. And so like when she told me that we were expecting, you know, and after I, you know, went and made, you know, and made sure that was what the case was, you know, it's like I start thinking, you know, then it's like, wow, I'm gonna have a kid. I'm going to be a dad. I'm going to be a father, you know, and at the time we had, I mean, like I said, she had a job. She was working for Don Cornelius at the Soul Train Dance Studios and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I wasn't making any money. I was just kicking around LA doing sessions here, sessions there, whatever I could get, you know, get a hold of. And and then, you know, it's like my mom used to always tell me, she used to always say, when you feel like you're surrounded on all sides, the only place to look is up, you know. And like I start thinking about that, you know, thinking about her, you know, her telling me that and the whole thing, and I said, okay, I got to go back to church. I got to get to church. I got to get to, you know. So I had always heard about Fred Price at Crenshaw Christian Center, you know. I got up one Sunday morning. I went to Crenshaw Christian Center. That's when they were on Crenshaw, actually on Crenshaw Boulevard. And
right.
I got it, and I walked in there, man, and I mean, I felt like somebody had, like, told Pastor Price my whole story, and he was talking right to me, you know, and everything that was going on. And, man, I'm telling you, and at the end of the teaching, you know, he did his invitation, you know, and Fred Price was an amazing teacher, and And so he got to his invitation. He's, you know, inviting people to join the church, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there. But then he said, if you need reassurance of your salvation, in other words, if you know that you know that you know that you know that you know
mm-hmm.
how Fred Price is, if you follow
mm-hmm.
Fred Price,
right.
you know,
yeah,
know that
we
you
know
that
very
you know,
well.
Yeah, you know, yeah, and like he said, you know that you have your salvation, but you need reassurance of your salvation, right? Man,
mm-hmm.
the Holy Spirit took my hand and threw it up in the air, man. and so, you know, I got up and I you know, you went back, you ended up going up there and then you go back and you talk to a counselor. And this counselor and I went back in the back and man, we were going through some scriptures, going through all kinds. Man, praise the Lord, receive the gift of tongues. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
and
yeah.
like just
that's
praying,
your buddy.
praying in the spirit, the whole thing, man. And man, when I walked out of there, I felt like I was walking like 3 feet off the ground. You know,
yeah,
and so you man, were. And from that point on, everything, praise the Lord, everything started falling into place. You know, I said, okay, I'm gonna have, and I cringed a little bit, T-Mai. I said, okay, I'm gonna have to find a 9-to-5. You know what I'm saying? and
yeah.
So, I got up the next morning, put a suit on, and went out, and I came back. By the time I came back that, you know, that Monday evening, I had this little job at this place called Sunshine Clothing Store at the it was at the Carson Mall. And then, so like, you know, I started working that thing. I'm working it for about a week or 2 weeks or so. Somebody's at my door. Okay. And so I started working it for about 2 weeks. And then this girl, Tammy Gibson, who used to sing with, Wonder Love with Stevie. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So she used to come down to Mavericks all the time and watch, you know, the group Beverly Hills when we would play down in Mavericks when we had a show that we were trying to put together. Then he would I would go, you know, we would play Mavericks rather. And so
mm-hmm.
we putting that show together, we wanted to try the show out. We play Mavericks. So, you know, she used to come down there and watch the show all the time. And then she came looking for me because she was doing this session with this guy, Jeffrey Bowen, who's a producer
mm-hmm.
over at Motown, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know, they're doing this session, and she asked me to come. She was putting together a background session. And so I went in there. I started working with her. I worked with her in the session and stuff. And then after we got done, the producer, Jeffrey Bowen, came up. He said, man, I love your vocals. You know, I want to get you. This is going to be a self-contained situation. He was doing producing an album on this guitar player, this guy named Eddie Hazel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Hazel used to play guitar for Parliament Funkadelic. You know, if you remember this tune called Maggot Brains, right? By Parliament Funkadelic. That was this whole guitar soliloquy. That was Eddie Hazel. So he's putting
mm-hmm.
this thing. He said, I can get you in on the group. You know, with the group, it's going to be a self-contained unit. And he said, we can work on the contracts as far as Motown is concerned. He said, but I can get you into AFTRA tomorrow, right? Literally the
mm-hmm.
next day. I can
mm-hmm.
sign you up for AFTRA and the whole thing. And you know, AFTRA scale was like, I mean, at that time, it was something like for a duet and a solo and a duet, the scale was something like 130, 140 bucks an hour or something like that. And, and like, And then if you're doing a background session, it was like $90 an hour. And you if you weren't a contracted artist, you had to be paid from the time you walk in the studio till the time you walk out. So
that's right.
Jeffrey Bowen would book time for like 8 o'clock in the evening. He wouldn't show up till about midnight, and then we work until about 5 o'clock in the morning, right?
Right.
And
right.
So that was all, you know, that was, I had to be paid from 8 o'clock till 5 o'clock in the morning, right? So
right.
I was making nice money, so of course I wasn't working at the clothing store anymore. You know. And but it was there. I was working with them for about three or four months. And then I'm like at a meeting, doing a meeting, because, you know, their whole accounting situation started getting kind of funny, you know what I'm saying, to say the least. And so like, you know, started not reflecting, the checks weren't reflecting the time that we spent in the studio, right? Yeah. So like I called a meeting with these guys and with Jeffrey Bowen and his co-producer up at the Motown building up on the 15th floor, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's when Motown was on Sunset and Argyle. And
right.
So they had 17, 16, 15 floors, the top three floors. And I'm up on the 15th floor, and I'm in this meeting with Jeffrey Bowen and, like, going, you know, y'all giving me the runaround and blah, 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 you know. And then the phone rings, right? And this cat Angelo Bond, who was Jeffrey's co-producer, for that project, he answers the phone, and he looks at me. He says, "It's for you, right?" And like I said, if it's my lady, tell her that, you know, I'll call her back. And like he said, "No, it's not. It's not a lady. It's a guy, and it sounds like a long distance." So long story short, it was Jeffrey Daniel from Shalimar calling, trying to find me, because the lead singer of the group at the time that did Take That to the Bank, he split on him, you know, in the middle of this promotional tour. And then, you know, and then he said, you know, "Well, when y'all get it together, call me." But Jeff called my lady to find out where I was. And so, you know, it separated. So he found out where I was. They made me that offer. It was on a Friday. And then Saturday I did a little lightweight audition. Saturday night, I was on the plane to New Jersey. Sunday, we rehearsed the lip sync and choreography to Take That to the Bank. And then Monday, we did a TV show. That's how that whole thing went down. So when you ask, getting back to the question you asked about when was God real in my life, I think the time when I rededicated my life back to the Lord, you know, in that moment, at that time when I went to Crenshaw Christian Center, man, that's when it started being, I started like being able to apply, you know, my faith and my belief to everyday life, you know what I'm saying? At that point, I had to start making decisions in my life that would take, you know, God's blessings, God's guidance, the Holy Spirit's guidance, and apply it to my life. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that was the time when, you know, he showed me. It's just like I used to smoke. I smoked cigarettes from the time I was 15 till I was 22, right? And when I was 22, this was after I got with the group, And I remember I smoked cigarettes. I started smoking cigarettes at 15 when I was in high school, and I really started smoking more so that I wouldn't get dizzy in front of my friends when I was smoking cigarettes. So that's why I started smoking more. And so then I had a little lightweight habit, you know, going on. and addiction. And I remember I was with a group during that promotional time when I initially got with the group, and I remember being in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and we were playing this big club down there during the promotional thing, promoting Take That to the Bank. And I remember smoking, going to the bathroom. I'm going to the bathroom, right? And we're getting ready to go on stage, and I smoked a cigarette, and I'm standing up there at the urinal, and I threw the cigarette in the urinal, and I started praying right there. I said, Lord, I know I'm not this, that thank God it hasn't affected anything, but I know this is not something that could be good for me. And I said, I've tried to stop, and every time I stop, I start back again. I said, but I know that I have to leave it in your hands. I'm leaving this in your hands. And then I haven't smoked or even had a craving for a cigarette since I prayed that prayer. So it's like, yeah, you have to take things and apply it, to your everyday life. I remember initially, and this was, I was about maybe, again, 20, 21, 22 years old, but I remember a situation that was going down, and it made me think about, I said, okay, I'm going to conscientiously take the word worry out of my vocabulary, because, worry is a sin.
I know what you mean. I took tired out of mine. I used to say, I'm tired. I'm not saying that again.
Yeah. Tired, not saying, but you have to, like, apply it like it's, and it's not going to happen overnight. I mean, that didn't happen overnight. It's like, because you're so used to saying, oh, man, I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. I'm worried about that, this, But, like, no, you take that word worry out of your vocabulary. I might be concerned about something now, There might be something that comes up that I'm concerned about. But when you're concerned, it's like, okay, Lord, I'm concerned. All right, Lord, me and you're going to deal, praise the Lord, you deal with this, But you start applying your belief and your faith and everything that you've learned about, putting your faith to work. What good is your faith? What good is your faith if you can't put it to work? you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And faith is like a muscle. It's like you gotta. If I go to the gym and I ain't been to the gym in like over a year or something like that, and I go in the gym and I start pumping and pressing and just doing it, working out legs, working out arms, working out back. And I start doing all that. The next day, I'm not going to be able to even move, let alone go back to the gym. It's like I have to go there and I have to, gradually work up to certain things. And that's the same thing as far as faith is concerned. Faith is a muscle, and praise the Lord. But I think that's when I started really realizing, how real are the whole thing, your faith and everything is, because it's not about no hocus pocus thing. There ain't no hocus pocus.
Really glad to hear you say you received the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues, because that's a weapon for you for the rest of your life.
When you're sitting there and something's going down that you just don't know how to pray. I don't know, Lord, I don't know how to pray. And that's why I thank God for my spiritual language, where I mean, because like I can start praying and praying in the spirit, and the enemy don't know what I'm doing. They run around confused. They confused, you know. And so, but I'm praying straight to, you know, God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, my Heavenly Father. And, you know, I thank God for that. You know, there's been, been so many times, you know, so many times.
Me too. I used to run in the restroom. I worked in a hospital. I would run in the restroom and come out. Yeah, so, girl, I was just telling you.
Yeah.
So many things can happen that's hazardous in that field. And, you know, you got to have the Holy Spirit and the Lord with you. And even, you know, with you traveling and being in a foreign country at this time, especially the way it is.
Especially now, And you know, Howard, I have a song I want to play, and then after I play it, I want you to tell me how it was birthed. And I think you know what song it is.
Okay.
Second time around, but before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in our lives every day. He's right there when we call. I
Yes, indeed. That song.
Yep.
That song is just powerful, man. That is good. So, so how did that come about?
Man, praise the Lord. You know, it's like, you know, and first of all, let me start. Like, say amen. The I Commit to Love album is, I conscientiously put 10 tunes on that album. That was my first solo album. I conscientiously put 10 tunes on that album so that Say Amen would be my tithe of that album. You dig what I'm saying? It's like, you know,
absolutely.
So the way that came about, I mean, I remember praying and saying a prayer about a couple years before I actually went solo, before I actually left the group. And I remember praying, I was saying, Lord, you know, I said, I'm, you know, I promise, you know, with every album that I do, every solo album I do, I promise that I will always honor you in, you know, in every album, at least one, two songs, whatever the spirit, whichever way the spirit would lead me. And so, like, I'm kind of paraphrasing as far as that prayer is concerned, but because this is a long time ago, but I remember when I had a meeting, I finally went solo, you know, I finally left Solar Records and I had to go straight onto Elektra. And I remember there was a meeting, we called a meeting with the new record company, the A&R people there, and my new management company that I just hired and all that. And so, like, man, you know, I went in and I was having it, you know, went into the meeting, shook everybody's hand. And when I sat down, you know, I said, you know, we had a little small talk and stuff. And I said, okay, well, first of all, I want to say, you know, that I want to do a song to the Lord on this album, right? And man, you could hear a pin drop in there. It was like, because remind you, this is 1985. This is 85.
Yeah.
Only people that ever done anything like that was, you know, the Commodores with Jesus Is Love. And, you know, and then Niecy used to do an R&B album and then she'd do a gospel album. But she never mixed it. You know, she never mixed it up. So that's what I was talking about. I was like, you know, I said, I want to do a song to the Lord on this album. And so, man, they didn't. And then finally this one cat starts talking. And he's like, he's from the record company. He says, well, you know, Howard, you know, we want to take your career in the sex symbol direction. And, you know, it might not be conducive to, you know, gospel overtures and all that kind of stuff. And then this other cat starts talking. And then my management even starts talking. I hired these cats, this company called Shankman and de Blasio at the time. And so I hadn't even talked to them about it, actually. So they start talking with their opinion about it. And I just kind of sat, you know, I kind of, you know, kicked back and just listened, because that's what I do whenever something's like, you know, and in my head I'm praying, okay, Lord, you know, how can I, you know, deal with this? Because one thing you don't want to do, you don't want to alienate people, you know, that are you know, yet you're looking to promote your album, you know, you don't want to you know, have them. And so, like I said, you know, I listened to them when they got done. I said I hear what you're saying and I understand what you're saying, I said, but maybe I just approached this the wrong way, you know. I said, let me go back and let me just say that I'm going to do a song to the Lord on this album because my promise, because it's a promise that I made, you know, to God, Christ, the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to do a song. So we just need to go from there and talk about everything else, you know, that we need to talk about.
Was that the number one song on the album?
it was like, see, Say Amen really was never a single, because they kept saying, we can't make it a single. When I'm For Real was out, I'm For Real was screaming up the charts. I'm For Real was like, you know, doing real good for everybody, all radio stations, everybody. Then we put Stay out, and Stay did real well. And we kept, you know, I kept looking at them saying, hey, you know, and, you know, Say Amen, everybody, you know, at that time too, like Donnie Simpson started ending it, mm-hmm. his show. He was, for years, he was ending his show with Jesus is Love. But then when Say Amen mm-hmm. came out, he changed it, started ending his show with Say Amen in the Maryland, Washington, D.C., Maryland area. And and so then a lot of different, you know, R&B stations started playing Say Amen. And I'm looking at the record company like, y'all seeing this, right? You're seeing this
yeah.
whole thing.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, and I remember I did a promotional tour with one of the cats there, the head of the R&B department over there at Elektra. We went to about four or five different markets, you know, and doing a promotional tour. And every market we go into, it was like, Say Amen. I'm For Real is doing great. We love it. It's doing great numbers, great phones, the whole thing. But the cut is Say Amen. Everybody was saying that. And I, you know what I'm saying? You know, y'all, mm-hmm. and I remember praying a prayer at that point, too, saying, Lord, you know, you want me to go and jump up and down on these people's, you know, desk and the whole thing. And I remember the Holy Spirit saying, I'm the best marketing and promotion man in the business. You know, this
amen.
Me, right?
Amen.
And
yeah. And
I left it to them. And every show, I left it to in the hands of the Lord. Again, see, that's the thing where a lot of people, they talk about, right? They talk about stuff. But when you can really start applying seriously, literally, stuff to your life as far mm-hmm. as the spiritual situation is concerned. And that is like a lot of people, because in the word it says, bring your burdens to the foot of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And then what does mm-hmm. it say? It says, bring your burdens, I'm paraphrasing, but it says, bring your problems, your burdens to the foot of the cross and leave them there.
Yeah.
And leave them there. That's where people run into the problem. They're mm-hmm. down on their hands and knees on their face at the foot of the cross and prostrate, the whole thing is just like, you know, crying and bawling, Lord, you know, I'm bringing this up, blah, 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 blah. And then they get up and they brush themselves off and then pick that thing right back up and walk away with it.
That's right. Oh, you
know
what, Howard, man? Yeah, and we could go on and on, but our time has actually ran out. We've been having so much fun, and time goes by fast.
We did that. We did this same thing last time.
Same thing last time.
Yeah.
Well, God bless you.
Very
man.
Interesting.
Thank you so much for being on the program tonight. I know that you were a blessing to a lot of people. And we just appreciate it, man. So we're going to keep in touch, Mr. Hewitt. We're going to keep in touch.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe, who knows? Maybe one day you can come back on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just let me know. Just let me know. But
thank
we gotta,
you for being
no,
with
we
us
gotta,
tonight.
We got to remember where we left off, so we'll start right
oh,
here
yeah.
and go on.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank
okay,
you, man.
My
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Anytime, you know, Timo, all you got to do is call me, man.
I appreciate that. Love you, man.
Love you too, man. God bless. God bless, team. Take care now.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining in. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.